Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from the Israel Passaic Clifton. We're continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights to the Daf series. Happy to be back after a couple of week absence. Today's shiur is on Maseches Sukkah Daf Memhei, and the topic is one little word, two big directions. The word that I'm going to be discussing is the word Miyad. The word Miyad appears at the end of the Mishnah on Daf Memhei Amud Aleph. The words are Miyad Tinokos Shomtim Es Luveyim Va'Ochlim Es Fregehim. Depending on how you translate this word miyad, you can end up with two totally different halachic discussions. And what I wanted to show you, and to bring out the point, was that you see the depth of the Torah that we have, that from just one little word and one little understanding, we can take something into two completely different directions, and so much discussion could come out of it, with not only halachic implications, but also learning implications as well. So let's go to the simple translation, or one of the translations. We're actually going to take the Tosfos approach first. And the Tosfos approach is the following. Miyad, immediately after the mitzvah of Lulav was performed on Hoshana Rabbah, the last day of Sukkot, Tinoko shomtim es lulaveihem ve'ochlem es regehem. The children undo the lulavim, and conceivably they play with them afterwards, ve'ochlem es regehem, and they eat their esrogim. So before we get into any halachic implications over here, we have a simple question. The Mishnah Maseches Brachos teaches us Ha'osa Tfiloso Kevayin Tfiloso Tachanunim. To which the Gemara there explains one understanding of this Mishnah is that one makes their tefillah as if it's as a burden. The tefillah is not really so accepted. So if this is the case, why then was this the practice of the Tinokos, or the young children? As soon as they finish the mitzvah on the last day of Sukkot, they're taking apart the lulavim, they're playing with them as if they say, no more mitzvah anymore, no more mitzvah anymore, we're going to eat our esrog, no more mitzvah anymore. Doesn't this make the mitzvah of lulav and esrog like a burden? Doesn't seem like the greatest chinuch. Why is the Mishnah codifying this? So, the Rav brings down a similar idea later on. When the Gemara speaks about Sukkah being a seven-day mitzvah, and again, keep in mind, we're dealing with Sukkah in Eretz Yisrael, not Sukkah in Chutz La'aretz, where the Sukkah is used on Shemini Atzeres, because that's a din of Chesuyik et Yom, and that's not really a din of the mitzvah of Sukkah itself. But the Mishnah says, the Gemara there says the following, Shebi Yom HaSukkah Shalcha Kishagomer Lechol B'Sukkah, Mored HaSakelim Min HaMincho L'Mala, you remove your utensils from the Sukkah, your tables and your chairs and your beds and so on, V'Yimein Mokom L'Horid Shom Kelev, let's say you don't have room because you're going to have, let's say, a big get-together on Shemini Atzeres, and you want to use the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres to host your family, but you know you can't because of Baal Tosef, the prohibition of extending a time-bound mitzvah and doing it at a time that you're not chayiv. So what do? So then, pochis ba'arba, you open up a four tefach gap in the schach, you pass the schach, or mada gesaner, or you light a lamp in it, something which was something which we don't specifically do over sukkahs. And you do something to automatically pass your sukkah. What's the rush? You did the mitzvah. Why are we taking it apart? You eat in your house. Why do you have to take down your sukkah immediately? So the Rav says that really, this is not doing something which shows a lack of kavod for sukkah. And I guess we could say the same thing for lulav, but actually, it shows more of a kavod. What does that mean? So the Rav says the Grav learns out two aspects over here to this halacha. It's almost like a sur mirav vaseitov, reactive and proactive. Stay away from the negative and do the positive. Let's get to the sur mirah. Let's mention the aforementioned Baal Tosef. We know that if a person eats in their sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, or let's say in Chutz La'aretz and Simchas Torah, not only do they not get a mitzvah, but they get an avera of sitting in a sukkah for a longer period of time, trying to do a mitzvah that was only given to us for 7 days, and to do it on the eighth day. So what do? By going ahead and passing the sukkah, or passing the esrog, eating it or taking a bite out of it, that's clearly not going to be good. Or taking it and using it as a toy, you're showing, you know something, there's no way I'm going to be using this anymore, and I'm not going to worry about Baal Tosef. In fact, we shouldn't look at it as, we're making on Sukkah, but rather we're machmir on Baal Tosef. That's one answer, that's one aspect. The other aspect, the Gra says, is that it shows us that what we have done was done purely for the purposes of a mitzvah, and not for something else, not for other enjoyment. Meaning, not sitting in the sukkah because it's nice outside. Not taking the esrog because it smells nice and it looks nice. And in fact, we have a similar idea by Beis Yosef brings down. And he's on the pasuk. The idea it says kiva sukkos u'shaftis b'nei Yisrael v'hotziyo some eretz Mitzrayim. One of the things that the sukkahs remind us of, either the Anani Kavod, the Gemara says, or the actual sukkahs that we got in the Midbar. And the question is, so then why don't we do this mitzvah Yetzias Mitzrayim? After all, that was the time when we got it. And the Beis Yosef says, because we're worried that if a person does this now, people might think we're sitting outside because of the weather. But when you go into October, time when it's already starting to get cool, and the summer season is over, and you look into the stores by Sukkot time, you don't see the beach display. You see already the orange and black Halloween display, so you know already you're in the fall. So therefore, we know that you're doing it for the purpose of a mitzvah. And that's exactly what we're doing over here, too. By having the children go ahead and pasuk the lulav and esrog immediately, we're showing what we've done is for mitzvah, and it actually enhances the mitzvah of Sukkah, doesn't go ahead. Sukkah and lulav doesn't detract from it. And just as you know, the Gra was known to have made Havdalah Motzei Pesach on beer, chametz, right away, to show right away. This idea of not eating chametz, it was a mitzvah for me. I only did it because it was a mitzvah. It was totally l'shma. And as soon as the mitzvah is over, I want to show that I'm only using it during the right time and not doing it anymore. But this is such a great idea. So then why does the Mishnah say, Miyat tinokos mishamtim l'vehem? Why don't we have the Gedolim do it as well? So on this, Tosos points out that we have to go ahead and look at the Gemara a little bit further on Memvavim Abeis. The Gemara Memvavim Abeis raises a question as to the status or the Muktzah status of Lulav and Esrog on the seventh day of Yontif. We know that there are different types of Muktzah. One type of Muktzah is Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah, meaning something that you've used for a mitzvah, you can't then just go ahead and use it for a mundane purpose because that would be cheapening the item. Once the item has been elevated to be used as a Chetzah Shel Mitzvah, you can't go ahead and lower its status by using it for an everyday purpose. There's a Machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to what's the status of Esrog on the last day of Sukkot, after you've done the mitzvah. Could the person eat their esrog on that day? Reish Lakish says yes. Rav Yochanan says no. Reish Lakish says yes because it was muktzah for the purpose of the mitzvah itself. Rav Yochanan says no, you can't, because once it's been set aside for the day, that once it was muktzah at that point, or one point during the day, it's considered to be muktzah for the entire day as well. So you see over here that we have this question of whether something should be muktzah or not. And this is actually used in this discussion about the tinokos. Make a diak, whether the tinokos in, gedolim no, and so on. But what is the difference? Why would there be a difference in terms of muktzah for a katan and not muktzah for a gadol? Well, I'm sorry, not muktzah for a katan and muktzah for a gadol. So the Rav explains, it really depends on who was using the mitzvah. You see, when a gadol comes and does a mitzvah, he's coming and making this a chetzah shel mitzvah through his koach of a bar chiyuva. And somebody who is a bar chiyuv, by him going ahead and picking up this lulav and esrog, so he is saying, this is a chetzah shel mitzvah for me. I've made this a chetzah shel mitzvah completely. And because it was used for me as my chetzah shel mitzvah, it's now going to be asur for the entire day. When it comes, however, to a katan using the lulav and the esrog, is all it does is it makes it a chetzah shel mitzvah related to the mitzvah itself. It does not take on that status of kol hayom, because the katan himself is not chayiv in the davar. So therefore, what the Rav says is that even though you have this discussion about, and we're not sure whether it's going to make it muktzah for the whole day or for the entire day, the reason why this was a practice for the ketanim and not for the gedolim is because by the gedolim there is that muktzah shayla. There is this possibility that they could be matzah the lulav and the esrog the entire day. For ketanim, it's not. So therefore, that's why the Mishnah only mentions katan. So what have we seen from here? From the fact that we have this concept of this of the ketanim going ahead and immediately passing the esrogim, we learn this concept brought down by the Gra of immediately stopping a mitzvah and validating a mitzvah after it's done to, number one, prevent Baal Tosef and to show the chavibus of the mitzvah in terms of everything I did was hurl l'shma. And it brings up the discussion about whether we say or whether it's mukta for a little bit, it's mukta for the whole day, and the relevance between a gadol and a katan. However, Rashi has a different understanding of the word miyad completely. And Rashi says the word miyad means from the hand of the ketanim. Meaning, as Rashi says, miyad lulav yatinoko shomtim hagadolim miyadon, the gadolim take the lulav out of the esrog, out of the hands of the ketanim, the oflam esrogim shaltinokos, and they eat the lulav and the esrog, or they eat the esrogim of the, the young children. So mukta we discussed. Excuse me. And we've said that conceivably there is no Isser Mukta on the Lulav and the Esrog for a Katan that we mentioned with the Rav before. So, however, Rish Lakish and Rav Yochanan hold in that Machlokas, it's not relevant to a Katan's. The Shaila is with the Gadol. But there's another issue. You went ahead and took it from a Katan. What about the Isser Gzela? So one might say, well, we don't Bava Kama. It says that there really is no Isser Gezel Midoraisa from a Katan, which is true. However, there is an Isser Gezel because of Darchei Shalom, meaning what? Min HaTorah, if I steal from a Katan, I have no problem. However, the Chum said, if I allow this and I publicize this idea that you can just steal stuff from children, the world's going to become a hefker place. So therefore, because of Darchei Shalom, for people not grabbing stuff out of children's hands, taking stuff away from kids, and taking advantage of them, so therefore, they put in an Isser Derabbanan of Gezel Midarchei Shalom. However, the Rashi comes and says, there is no Gezel B'Darkei Shalom over here. Why? Because this is Machmas Simcha. You're doing this to show the enjoyment of the mitzvah, how special it is. Now, what kind of simcha you get from eating the Yesrog? It could be, you know, I was so happy to do the Yesrog, and now I want to show my happiness by going ahead and partaking in it and saying, yes, this is so special to me. Okay, however you want to go ahead and say the Simcha. But Tosos brings this discussion a drop further. And he says, there happened to be a minhag during the times of the Tosos period that our chasnas get wild. There they used to bring in young bachrim would be going on horses, and the horses would bump into each other because, you know, I guess the horses were not trained in dancing like we are. And what would happen is the koran bigdo shachavero or makalkalo suso, and in the little quote unquote horsing around, a horse can get damaged, clothing can get damaged. We say over here, Tosa says, Piturin Shekin Nagu Machma Simchas Chasam. Because you're doing it because of Simcha, there really is going to be no issue of Nezek over here or paying for the damages. Similarly, an outcome of our discussion over here. And the Ramah interestingly brings up in Hilchos Purim, in Simen Tofresh Tzadi Hei, he says, Yesh Omrim Dim Hizik Echadas Chavero Mikoach Simchas Purim Potro L'Shalim. Here's where it comes up practically. Let's say somebody, two people are having a whole celebration on Purim. They're dancing around. And yes, they're Mikayim, the mitzvah of Adlo Yoda, not according to the Ramah, but according to other people. And what happens is, in the middle of their dancing around, one guy hits another person's face and knocks his glasses off and the glasses break. So the Shaila is, do you have to pay? The Ramah says you don't, because you're doing it because of Simchas HaMitzvah. The Magen Avraham points in and says that, well, this is only in the Mamo, meaning if I broke the glasses, I have no problem. If I went ahead and knocked the guy's glasses off and I made the guy bleed and he gets stitches, so then I'm a chuyif to go ahead and pay for the medical bill, because the idea is, as the Rav mentioned, people are mochel on Nizkei Mamo, and they're definitely not mochel on Nizkei HaGuf. Which leads to an interesting question that was brought down. There was a question brought up in Eretz Yisrael a number of years ago, where on Leil Purim, there were two people who were at their shul's mesiba, and they got, let's just say, very into the simcha, and they were starting to dance wildly, and they pushed into a third guy, and this third guy's glasses got broken. And the question is, do they have to go ahead and pay, or do they not have to go ahead and pay? And Medidi Kahana, the one who published the tshuva, wrote the answer. So he quoted our case in Sukkah, and he also pointed out the Ramah, which says that, again, you don't have to go ahead and necessarily pay. You don't have to necessarily go and pay, which is interesting because while we normally say Adamu Liolam, Bein Yesh and Bein Ar. And clearly a person who goes ahead and gets drunk should fall into that category of Adam Mu'ad the Olam, because again, also, who asked him to get drunk? Nonetheless, because he's doing it with tzad of mitzvah, it shouldn't be an issue. However, Rav Kahana said, here's the one problem with our case. This case took place at night. When a person, there is no mitzvah to get drunk at night, and the simcha of Purim at night is not the same as the Purim in the day. So therefore, while maybe there's room to be makel during the day, there is no room to be makel during the night. And that's why he made the two people pay for the glasses. So look at this. Miyad. On one hand, the discussion is only muktzah. On the other hand, it's causing hezek b'makom shamitzah. Amazingly. One word, two totally different interpretations, two sets of halachos. But one thing is clear, you really see the depth and the amkus of the Yamshel Torah. Have a wonderful week.